welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
How are we all doing? We good? Ready for the Word of God? Good. I'm glad you are, because I am. Shall we pray? I think we should honor the Word of God. Yeah, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your Word. Your Word that changes lives. Your Word that impacts. Your Word that is full of instruction. Father, your Word that pierces our hearts. I pray today that from the words that I speak, I would speak your words, not my own. And Lord God, that it would transform my lives. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen. Hey man, I'm going to be speaking to you from the book of Nehemiah this afternoon. So yes, we're going to the Old Testament. It's okay. It's always a good start. The 4 p.m. here at Myrie. And going to pick up from the story of Nehemiah, which is actually, if you're not familiar with the story, this is the story where the Jews are actually in exile at this point. And the gentleman in question, Nehemiah, is under the service of King Artaxerxes. He is actually his cupbearer. And as a part of the news that's come back from some of the remnant that have gone back to Jerusalem, he hears word that the walls of Jerusalem are in disarray, that they've crumbled, that they are absolutely in ruin. And he laments. He cries and he just says, why is this so? Because if you understand anything about historical cities in those times, if the walls of a city have been broken down, all of its security, all of its identity and everything was captured in the ability to keep its walls and its structure in place, because that was the way they kept their enemies at bay. So the doors were really important as well. So everything about the walls was very much in keeping with the identity of the city. And Jerusalem, this was the chosen city of the Jews. So when the walls are broken down in Jerusalem, this is a big deal, which is understandable why Nehemiah, he laments and he cries and he gets before God. But then he goes to the king, King Artaxerxes, and he says, will you give me supplies? Will you send me back so that I can rebuild the walls of my city? Which is interesting that he would go to the very king that he's in exile with and get favor. Clearly, the hand of God was good in that situation in order that he would get supplies. And of course, he goes back and then he gets to the children of Israel, to the Jews, and he says, come on, let's build the walls. Come on, let's go back. Let's build the walls. Let's begin to restore the city back to its former glory. Let's rebuild the walls. And he encourages and he gets and he rallies them around. And we're going to pick up in the story in chapter 4. At the point where he's got the people ready, they're armed, they're about to get in and start to rebuild the walls. We pick it up in chapter 4, verse 1, and it says this: Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the walls. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, "What does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think that they're doing? Do they think that they can build a wall in a single day just by offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think that they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap?" Wow. And charred ones at that. And then Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was standing right beside him, remarked, "That stone will collapse even if a fox were to walk upon it." Wow. Then I prayed, "Hear us, O God, for we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may they themselves become captives in a foreign land." Hey, snap. "Do not ignore." I love the way scripture, when people lament, they go right back at you. Like they slap them back in the face. David was the master of that in the Psalms. He goes, "Lord, my enemies are against me. Why don't you strike them? Get them back." I love that. It's good. A little bit of war is all right, okay? It's in scripture. I'm just saying. "Do not ignore their guilt. Do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here in front of the builders," the Jews. At last, the wall was complete to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked hard with enthusiasm. Fantastic portion of scripture. Amazing when we see what's actually happening. The rebuilding is taking place. So today, I want to speak to you around the topic of restored from the ruins. Restored from the ruins. Nehemiah had commissioned the people of Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, to restore the city to its former glory, something that might have seemed impossible at this point if you were to see the physical barriers that they were facing. And when you look at the state of the ruins and the waste that lay around them, even the people who were outside the city said, how on earth are you going to do this? They mocked them. They sat there and said to him, you're not going to be able to do this. And it seems as we read this passage that they're coming into intense opposition. Later on, if you read in the chapters, not only do they come up against this verbal opposition, they come up against war. They don't want them to rebuild the walls. That's their security. They don't want them to restore it. Now, if you're like me, many of you might see some of those shows on say, Channel 94 or Channel 76 or whatever. Anyone here watch restoration shows? Just saying, I quite like them. All right, I like, but there's a couple of good ones that I quite like. The one with Chip and Joanna, which is, what's it called? Fixer Upper. Has anyone watched Fixer Upper? Oh, awesome. Do you know what I love about that? It's the young people that like it. Anyway, I was actually watching one the other day, and it was actually one of those custom car ones where they get old cars that are essentially wrecks, and they rebuild them, right? And on this show was this 49 International milk truck, like American brand International. And this thing looked just destroyed. It was full of rust. It had its glass intact. The engine was seized. Everything, when you look at this, you would think it's not going to be rebuilt. And I quite enjoy the end process when you see these things and you see the end product. And these guys, they build these things back to absolute masterpieces. You could literally shave in the paint job because it just shines back at you. You can see your image in it. I mean, they do these amazing jobs of restoring them. But if I'm honest, when I watch these shows, I quite often sit there and go, I don't actually see that that's going to work. I can't see the end result. I can't see that from that ruin, from that rust, from that rubbish heap, that you're actually going to be able to rebuild that car. But I'm not the creative type. I can't envision that. I can't see it. And as I'm sitting there watching this show, I'm reflecting and thinking to myself, is this how we see our lives? That when we look at our lives and we look at the damage and we look at all that sort of thing going on, do we sometimes sit there and go, I can't see my life being restored. I can't see God using me. I can't see from this ruin that's around me that God can actually restore me back. You know, I can't see myself thinking where I was, I can never be there again. You know, you might be looking at 2020 and thinking, I don't want to go there. You know, 2020 has been so hard, but I can't seem to come back from that. You might be looking at a circumstance and thinking to yourself, you know, what I've done, you don't understand. I can't come back from that. But I want to tell you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, and I declare today, your Creator, the one who made you, the one who knows your innermost thoughts, the one who knows everything about you, he is in the business of producing restoration from ruins. He is in the business of changing lives. In fact, he does his best job with ruins. No matter what lies have been spoken over you, no matter what declaration has been said of you, I can tell you right now that God says he sees restoration from ruin. He sees that he can bring about what the world says is gone. God says, no, I can make it into life. You might be looking back and thinking, you know, what good can come of 2020? What good can come of that? God can make good of that. Nothing good can come from that. Yes, it can. When you put it into the hands of God, so much good can come from that. We need to begin to have the eyes of Nehemiah. We need to begin to see the rubble and say, I can see restoration. We need to be able to see the burnt charred woods of the gates and say, I can see a door being formed. We need to look back and go, I can see that mud turning into mortar that will be the very glue that holds that wall together. We need to look with the eyes of Nehemiah and says that I can turn ruin into restoration. So what do we need to do? If we want to shift our focus from ruin to see restoration in our lives, what do we need to learn from the scripture? And there's a couple of key things that we can learn just from this passage this evening. And I want to share a couple of them with you. The first one is this. Number one, we need to restore truth. We need to restore the truth. There are two specific lies that have been spoken by two individuals in this passage. Sanballat and Tobiah, two characters we come upon in the opening verses, they feel the need to hurl insult, to speak mockery, to basically say to the Jews, you've got no chance of doing this. But it's what's hidden behind what they actually say that actually captures or could capture our hearts and could have captured the Jews in that time. See, Sanballat would have you believe, I'm not worth it. Let's have a look at it again. What does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think that they're doing? Do they think they can build the wall in a single day just by offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stones from rubbish heap and charred ones? The enemy would have you believe it's not worth it. You don't deserve it. Do you think just because you pray that God will turn it around? That's the declaration he just made. Just because you make a sacrifice, God's going to turn it around. I can tell you right now, when you seek the hand of God, he can turn it around. These ruins, there's no purpose left in them. Those rocks, they're just rubble now. You're not worth it. It's not worth picking it up. God says you're worth it. It's over. They're just ruins. Those are the lies that Sanballat would have you believe. Those are the lies that the enemy would have you believe, that you cannot come back from here and you're not worth it. Let's look at Tobiah. Tobiah would have you believe it's not possible. That stone wall would collapse if even a fox were to walk on it. It's not possible. You can't rebuild that. That's rubble. You can't rebuild that. It's not possible. You can't glue that back together. It's not possible. Your life, the mess you made, it's not possible. You can't come back from that. You're too old. You're too young. You can't do it. It's not possible. It's when we get these lies in our head that we begin to be thwarted and stopped in the very purposes that God has for us. Even if you do rebuild your life, you're only going to fail again. Even if you get it right, you're going to stumble again. These are the lies that the enemy tries to keep us captive in. We need to stop listening to the enemy. We're going to stop listening to the lies. Who told you that? Didn't come from the throne, I can tell you that. Who told you, Adam, that you're naked in the garden? That didn't come from the throne. Who told you, Simon, it's time to go back fishing? He didn't call him Peter. Who told you, Simon, to go back fishing? Jesus said, I called you Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I didn't tell you to go back fishing. Who told you, Gideon, that you're the least of all in my tribe? That didn't come from the throne. That's not from the throne. There's a great scripture that we often brush over because we read the tail end of it. But I want to just capture this in Jeremiah 29, verses 10 and 11. It says this. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I promised. I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I can tell you right now, you might have a little bit of a time in Babylon, but God says, but I can bring you out. You might have a bit of time where it says, you know, it's hard, trials, difficulty, but my God can turn them around. My God can shift it, because I know he has, because his word declares it. That's the truth we need to restore in our minds. Don't listen to the lies, listen to the truth. In the year 2000, these were the lies that I was listening to. They were the ones that had me trapped. Through some poor choices, I found myself in a situation that I never dreamt of. My wife and I were separated. Our marriage was in near tatters. My family was falling apart. And I said to myself, I can never come back from this. I can never restore this. Ministry was over. I can never come back from that. I'm listening to these lies. How could I possibly come back from this? You know, I'd even thought about ending it numerous times because it's too hard. There's too much rubble. There's too many ruins. There's too much garbage going on. I can't rebuild from that. I'm listening to lies. For 2 years, I was listening to lies mixed in with some truth. You see, slowly over the next 2 years, God began to rebuild the truth of his word into my mind. Slowly but surely, he began to break through and the lies began to be dispelled. He began to say to me, who told you you're finished? Who told you your marriage is over? Who told you you can't come back from here? I stand here today, some 20 years later, and in April, we will be sharing our 30th wedding anniversary. Who says God is not the restorer of ruins? I know my God's a restorer of ruins because I've seen it. I know it. I've lived it. Have I not called you? He said from the words from Isaiah chapter 43. Have I not called you by name? When you walk through waters, you will not drown. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. I am with you. When you are in the difficulty, when you are in the rubble, when you're in the ruins, he's there. Just because you're going through difficulty doesn't mean he's not there. He is always with you. He's there with you. It's us understanding and seeing and not listening and dispelling the lies. We've got to get the lies out. I needed to stop looking at the circumstances, the ruins, and listen to the words of the restorer. To stop listening and entertain the lies and restore the truth of my heart. Too easily we entertain lies rather than truth. And these lies hold us captive and stop us from stepping into the purpose and the plan that God has for us. In the words of Ezekiel 37, Son of man, can these dry bones live? Can these dry bones live? Oh Lord, you know. Then, Son of man, speak to these words, prophesy, cause these dry bones to come to life, and they came to life. They didn't just come to life. They were an exceeding great army. God's saying to you, come on, prophesy and speak over your ruins and begin to see the transformation take place. Begin to see the truth settle in. Begin to see the change take place because the restorer of truth needs to get into your heart and change your mindsets and have you believe. I don't know what your 2020 may have looked like. You might be looking back and just seeing ruins. You might be saying to me, but Dave, you don't understand what I've been through. I don't. God does. He understands everything you've been through and he can restore everything that has been lost. He can rebuild from ruins. It's not too far gone. You can come back. How can anything good come from this? It's impossible. Let me declare to you, God says, call the dead bones into life. God says, no matter the circumstances, declare it, bring it back because it's his victory. It's time to reject the lies of Sanballat and Tobiah and restore truth. You are worth it and it is possible. Your creator, the one who designed you, who formed you, as I said, in your mother's womb, he can see beyond the ruins. Where we see death, he sees life. Where we see no way, he makes a way. Where we see destruction, he sees construction. And where we see ruin, he sees restoration. I need an amen for that. Come on. Our God is the restorer from the ruins. He is the one who changes it. It's time to restore the truth of the words of Matthew chapter 19. When the disciples came to Jesus and they couldn't see a way, when they said to him, it's impossible, how can we do this? And Jesus looks them hard in the eye and he said to them, not a chance of all if you think that you can pull it off yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. When the lies try and rise up against the purpose and plan of God, begin to understand Isaiah 59. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So the second truth we learn about restoration, carrying from that verse, is this. Restoration needs intervention. Restoration needs intervention. Now, I don't know about you, but when I watch these shows, these restoration shows, so far, now I might be wrong, but so far, I haven't seen a car suddenly decide to just get on track and restore itself. Has anyone seen it? I haven't seen it happen. The car that's sitting in the rubbish heap, that all of a sudden it just says, you know that seized motor? I'm just going to start up. You know those wheels of the... I'm just going to get new tyres. It's all going to happen. Cars can't restore themselves. They need a creative intervention. Why is it when we look at that truth that we think that we can restore our own lives? Why is it that we think that we can do it on our own? Why is it that we think that I've seen it done before, I can just do it on my own? That's the mess that got you there in the first place. We need the intervention of our Almighty Creator. You have not... look at that verse said in Matthew 19. Not a chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself, but every chance in the world when you trust God. Nehemiah understood this concept really well. Look at the response in chapter 1. When he heard the news of the wall being broken down, look at what he did. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Yeah. Nehemiah understood what it was. He knew that he couldn't build the walls on his own. He knew he didn't have the resources. He knew he didn't have the manpower. He knew that he needed the intervention of the Creator of heaven and earth to actually get involved in that. God, I need you. I can't do this on my own. The wall was not going to rebuild itself. If they were to restore the ruins, they needed the intervention. It's the same with our lives. You know, I recall many times in the year 2000, 2001, crying out to God, saying, God, this is too hard. I was trying to do it on my own. But when I invited God into that space, when I said to him, Lord, I can't do this, I need you. Lord, this is getting hard, but I know that you can do it. Lord, as I reach out to you, I know that this can change. Lord, it's just... one step back. God, this is getting hard. Step forward again. And every time you step forward into the presence of God, every time you step into inviting the intervention of your Creator into the situation, it changes. There is no way that I could have restored the situation without the intervention of God. Honestly, it would have crashed and burned. You know, when someone starts out a restoration project on a car, what's the first thing they do? They go and buy the manual. If I want to work out how to redo a 65 Chevy, I have to go and buy the manual for a 65 Chevy. Because I don't understand how the parts go together. I don't understand the formwork. I don't understand the engine. I don't understand the carburetor or anything like that. I'm going to get the manual. Why do we think that we can do it on our own? Yeah. We need to go to the manual. We need to go to the Word of God. Yeah. We need to go back to where it is. If we want to rebuild our lives, we need the intervention from our Creator. He knows what's best for us. Better still, He knows who's best for us. He knows who we need. Look at Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. A famous scripture where Jesus opens the scrolls in his first public display of ministry and he reveals the restorative plan and his intervention into humanity. God knew who we need. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Restoration. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Restoration. He is a recovery of sight for the blind. Restoration. To set the oppressed free. Restoration. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Ultimate restoration. The very purpose that Jesus came for was to intervene into all humanity and to bring about a restorative process from their despair. We were in ruin as humanity. God intervenes. He brings restoration. Everything changes. The ruins of the cross became the greatest act of restoration for all mankind. We look at the cross and we see death. We see destruction. We see beating. We see shredding with the, you know, when he was whipped. All that horrible stuff that happened to Jesus. We look at that and we think, that's terrible. It's ruin. That's restoration. That's restoration. He took it all for us. What appeared as death and finality and utter ruin brought about the redemption of all mankind. The first step in restoring our ruin is to invite the intervention of the Creator and watch Him turn our defeat into triumph. Watch Jesus proclaim and declare the acceptable year of the Lord over your life. Wow, come on. Come on, I want that. No longer do we listen to the lies and the deception of the enemy who would have you bound and chained to ruin. No longer do we strive and strain in our own strength in a feeble attempt to fix it ourselves. Our promise and our reward is to accept and receive the promise of full restoration that comes from the proclamation of Jesus. I declare over you the acceptable year of the Lord over your soul. Complete restoration. Can I let you in on a little truth? When you restore something, not only do you bring it back from its former glory, but you actually bring it into modern day. When you bring something into modern day, you put new parts into it. Parts that are ready for the now. What part do we get when we get restored? We get the King of Kings. Our lives are transformed not only in the natural but in the supernatural, and Jesus now resides within us. We get the best body part of all. We get Jesus residing in our soul. Not only does He rebuild the ruins, He comes and resides with us. We are no longer the same. We are a new creation in Jesus. The old is gone. Behold, all things are new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ Jesus becomes a new person. The old is gone, the new life has begun, as the musicians join me. Our lives restored are in better condition than they've ever been before. It's better than ever. No longer are we defined by our ruins. Now we are defined by the restorative work of Jesus Christ in our lives. I don't know what 2020 has been like for you. I want to declare that 2021 can be the acceptable year of the favor of the Lord over your life. I want to declare that where you see ruins, God sees restoration. I want to declare over your life that where you see difficulty and struggle, God says, I'm standing with you. I want to declare where you've had something that might have lingered for 20 years, that God can bring about restoration. It just requires remove the lies, grab a hold of the truth, and let the Spirit of God intervene into your situation. You know, as I look back over the year 2000 and I reflect on the restoration that took place, you know, the most amazing prize came from that restoration. Not only was my marriage restored, it meant that my boys were able to grow up in a family where mum and dad were at home, loved God. Now, my oldest son serves and loves God in full-time ministry. I have a granddaughter. Just saying. 4 months old. She rolled for the first time yesterday. But here's the other prize. We thought that we were only going to have 2 kids. Then we had the surprise package of a beautiful girl that arrived in the process as well. Had the restoration not taken place, Jess wouldn't be here today. God is so good. God is so good. I don't know your circumstances, but I know this. My God's a restorer of ruins. I don't know what you're going through right now. My God's a restorer of ruins. And I want to declare over you today that He can restore whatever it is that is going on in your life. He can change and transform and bring beauty from ashes. Oil of joy for mourning. He can change it all. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.